Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Bingeable weekend, right? You're going to be sitting on the couch maybe a little bit more than you expected this weekend, and we got to find out the latest things to binge and maybe the things that you can binge for the last time. We got Blockbuster Blake Stubbs on. Blake, happy day after Thanksgiving. You get some turkey?
I did. I'd like to say I'm recovered, but I think it's going to take the rest of the day. You know, you fill up on Thursday and you're just like, oh, it was too much.
Yes.
And I'm actually at work right now.
Oh, okay.
So I'm putting in a full day today. And I'm just like, you know what? I could sit here in this food coma all day. And then 5 o'clock will hit. I'll just go home and start my weekend.
Boy,
it'd be great.
Hope your boss isn't listening. All right. So Blake, let's talk bingeable. I think a lot of people feel like you do today. And what are some maybe three picks of things that people maybe haven't had a chance to binge or watch that might be a great option for them this weekend?
Well, right now, Netflix just dropped the fourth season of The Crown.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to involve the Princess Diana entering the royal family era. This is a show that, if you're not too familiar with it, every couple of years they change up the actors on the show because they're focusing on a different era of the royal family's lives. And so I highly recommend The Crown. I think it's a very well-produced show. They've been very clear, especially in bringing in Princess Diana this year, that, you know, this is a show that's kind of historical fiction. They're not trying to make like a documentary dramatization of the royal family. This is Peter Morgan, the writer, telling his version of what happened throughout multiple eras of Queen Elizabeth's life. So I think it's a very well-produced show.
Oh.
The acting on the show is always stellar. I know, John, you've dove in on the show. I have as well. I think that it's one of those shows that if you haven't, I'm sure you haven't watched it, I'm sure you've heard people talking about it.
Yeah.
And so now's a great time to get into it, especially because, you know, one of the great humanitarian icons, Princess Diana, is kind of showing up at a very young age in the show. And the actress who plays her, Emma Corrin, struck me as just very on point. At least from a you know, an actor taking on this role, this iconic person,
yeah,
perspective, which is kind of how The Crown really draws people in, I think.
Yeah.
I think a lot of who they cast and who they're playing is big. So The Crown's number one, I think, for if you're looking for something to binge.
And here's something that's interesting, too, is that I know that a lot of the royals have had their Twitter handles locked for replies. Like, you can't reply to them anymore because so many people were attacking Prince Charles and others. Obviously, these people are still alive for their treatment of,
yes,
Princess Diana when she entered the family. And it's interesting to see that kind of melding of and merging of the drama we see on TV and then the continued drama that we see from the royal family in real life. So it's a great series. And I've watched seasons 1, 2, and 3 a couple times now. And 4 we just finished up. It was great. All right, what's your number two pick, Blake?
Number two is going to be a very short show. It's about 7 episodes long. I know that both John and I, you and I, have watched it because we were talking about it the other night. I would recommend The Queen's Gambit. This is a show Netflix produced based on a novel. Oddly enough, many years ago, before his passing, Heath Ledger was due to direct a film version of this story. Sadly, he passed, and then it kind of went into limbo until Netflix picked it up and ran with it, and it stars Anya Taylor-Joy as a young girl who lives the life of an orphan until she's adopted, and then the people who adopt her, the couple, one wants her in the house, the other doesn't want her in the house, and you always think there's always another shoe that's going to drop, but the relationship that she builds with her adoptive mother, the show focuses entirely on chess, because the big hook is that the young girl is an incredible chess prodigy who had no idea how to play the game until the janitor at the orphanage she grew up in just taught her the basics, and then everything took off from there. And I found this to be a very short 7-episode series that kind of just went from young age all the way until she's a full-fledged adult and a recognized chess professional. And the time period it was set in, I think that some of the direction of certain episodes was very good.
Yeah.
For my money, it's one of the shows that I think you can get through very quickly. And I think you'll find yourself after at least two episodes, you're either really going to be in or not. And if you are, it's probably going to be binge worthy.
Yeah. I liked it. I didn't love it as much as you did, but I really liked the time. It's definitely a period piece, and the fashion's cool. The music's cool. Her visit to Russia is cool. Like it looks great. So if anyone loves like a period piece or you love the 60s or something, it's a great option. All right. Number three.
And number three is going to be The Mandalorian. I think they're in the middle of the new season. They just dropped another episode today, which I did not stay up wildly late to watch. I'm going to watch that later today after work. But The Mandalorian is just, it's been running wild since it debuted season two. The episodes seem bigger. They've definitely embraced things that people loved about the first season. It's also, I know a lot of people are kind of on the fence about Star Wars, but this is a thing where even if you don't love Star Wars, you could love this show. I've said it time and again every time I've brought it up on these airwaves that, you know, if you tell me there's going to be sort of a samurai western type television show, you got me. That's it. I don't care where it's set. I don't care who's in it. And The Mandalorian kind of hits all the right notes for me. I know that it's been a fun show. I know that the child, or the baby Yoda, as many people call it, is a big draw. But on the whole, I think the entire show has been able to rise to the occasion of delivering a good second season so far. I think the first season as well sort of surprised people at how good it was, but at the same time, everybody was excited for it. So maybe that's one of those rare occasions where, you know, hype met the actual execution.
All right.
Mandalorian is going to be on the list of anything if you're looking to binge. And you've been behind or you haven't had a chance to watch it, it's on Disney Plus.
I want to warn people because there's a couple things that are moving platforms that maybe they're not ready for.
Yes. So one of these is, I think, a massive universal favorite, and that's The Office, which has been residing on Netflix for a very long time, all the seasons 1 through 9. They are going to be moving to NBC's Peacock. I think it's after December 31st. So the start of the new year, if you are not a Peacock user, The Office will no longer be readily available on Netflix. And then the other thing is The West Wing, which is John and I's, like, that's our bread and butter. That's one of our all-time favorite shows. They are moving to HBO Max on Christmas Day, which I think was precursored, if you weren't aware, by the fact that HBO Max, they did produce the Hartsfield's Landing election special live theater, filmed in a live theater West Wing one-hour, you know, episode. But the deal is to swap them over to HBO Max. But if you have HBO Max and you're frustrated that you can't get it on your television, know that it is transferring over to Amazon Fire TV sticks. So, like, if you have an Amazon Fire set up at home, you will be able to access HBO Max here very soon if you can't already. I know that's been a big gripe. So just throwing that out there, know that some of your favorite things are going to be moving in the next few months, so kind of keep tabs on what your favorite shows are, where they are, and if they're staying put.
I'm kind of glad that Office is moving. I love the show. I just watch it so often that I need to watch something else, so forcing it off Netflix will be a godsend in the long run. Blake Stubbs, as always, we appreciate it. You can follow him on Twitter at Blake Stubbs. That's with 2B. Blake, good luck with the rest of the digestion the rest of the day.
Thank you very much. It's going to be a nice Friday, I think.
Yeah, go back to work, my friend.